Hello, welcome to our latest episode of the Brighter Thinking Pod from Cambridge University Press with me, your host, Julia Fusey. The Brighter Thinking Pod has been created to support teachers around the world. Each episode brings you help, advice and interesting conversation from some of our brighter thinkers, authors, teachers and academics, with a sprinkle of entertainment on the side as well. Today, we're going to be discussing tips for teaching Cambridge primary and lower secondary global perspectives, and we'll hear from two special guests. We're joined by teacher at Bright House High School in Calderdale and teacher trainer Nancy Butler, as well as teacher trainer and tutor at International Online School Wolseley Hall, Claire Payne. Nancy is also one of our authors on our upcoming Lower Secondary Global Perspective series. As mentioned, we're going to be discussing all of our top tips for teaching global perspectives based on questions submitted by teachers around the world. Remember, all the links and info that we discuss are available in the show notes for your ease. And if you want to get your voice heard on the show, you can get in touch on Twitter using the hashtag BrighterPod or by email at educationmarketing@cambridge.org. So let's start by saying hello to our guests. Hi Nancy, hi Claire. Great to have you here with us today. How are you both?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome. So before we get to our main theme today, we're going to start with a little icebreaker to help our listeners get to know you better. So a key part of Cambridge Global Perspectives is developing skills. So if you could be an expert at any skill, academic or not, what would it be and why? Let's start with you, Nancy.
I think of the skills that I'd most likely to be very good at, it's languages. I love to travel. I love being in other places and I love almost pretending that I'm someone else. But I also like to talk and I like to be able to communicate with people. And everywhere I go, I always take my five phrases in whichever language I happen to be, whichever country I'm visiting. So to be able to be fluent would be what I would love. And it's a skill I would continue to work on or am continuing to work on.
Oh, that's great. I totally relate with that one as well. I love learning different languages. And Claire, what about you?
A bit of a strange one. I'd like to learn how to fly for similar reasons in terms of I like travelling and I also don't like relying too much on other people. I quite like being in control of of things myself. So, yeah, I'd like to learn how to fly.
Oh, that's a good one. I think I would probably want to be an expert dancer because I do love being on the dance floor, but I think I'm not as good as I think I am. But yeah, maybe we'll see one day. But thank you for sharing that with our audience. Now let's move on to the questions. So our first question is from Erin, who is part of our online community of educators and based in East Asia. Erin shared with us that Cambridge Global Perspectives is her favourite subject to teach and asks for some recommendations on how to help students keep track of their learning progress and skills development over time, possibly through personal portfolios that they can do themselves. Our resources are designed to help with this, so Nancy, I'm going to come to you first on this one as one of our authors. What are your thoughts on this topic?
Now, this is a question that teachers do ask quite a bit because they're often used to delivering subjects that are quite content heavy. And then that seems quite an obvious for students to keep, you know, long lists of dates if they're studying particular battles or particularly time periods in history. So often learners, parents and teachers aren't sure how to keep track of what they're doing with global perspectives because so much of it is active. So much of it is a sort of because it's skills-based, it's often unseen. It's the things that we're doing, but we're not necessarily writing down. So I think portfolios are a great way to do it. Now, the learner skills books that we've got do facilitate that sort of recording things and writing things down. But I think as well, I think it's really important for learners to keep a separate sort of folder, a portfolio, if you will. And teachers may decide that they want to have them organize those according to skills, or they may decide they want to organize them according to challenges. And I would argue that challenges or assignments might be the way to do it. But I think at the front of that folder, what I would do is I would have a grid of all of the skills and all of the levels of the skills. And I would encourage learners to shade in for themselves or to note down for themselves where they feel they've targeted that skill or they've become good at that skill. And it just encourages them to take responsibility for their own learning and to know where those things are. So later on, when they're thinking, oh, I did learn about analysis, then hopefully they could look at the front of their folder. They could see, you know, where they've done it and locate it later on. That's sort of an overview of how I would try to do it. That's what I think I would do as a sort of broad overview of how you can organize your work and be able to refer back to it later on.
Awesome. Thank you, Nancy. And Claire, what are your thoughts on this?
Similar to what Nancy's just said, I give my students a sort of checklist of all the different skills they've covered in a particular assignment, and they use the feedback from the assignment to then go through and sort of rate themselves with how confident they feel they are at that particular skill. So I make it very clear to the students which skill they're doing when they're looking at causes or consequences of globalisation, for example, because sometimes they don't make that link, and then they find it difficult to transfer those skills from one challenge to another. So by making it very explicit which skill they're using, they can then use that and transfer that into the different challenges and make further progress.
Awesome. Thank you, Claire. So Erin has also sent us another question, which I think others might find useful as well. Do either of you have any tips on how teachers can incorporate the practice of self-reflection for students into global perspective lessons? Claire, I'm going to come to you for this one first. Do you have any advice for Erin?
I think there's two different types of self-reflection within the Global Perspectives course. Is the reflection in terms of how well they're doing, which I think we've just covered in terms of looking at how confident they are and the progress they're making. And then there's also that reflection on how their opinion has developed and changed. And I think an important thing early on in the course is to get across to the students that changing your mind, changing your opinion is actually a strength, because some people do find that it's a weakness. It's like admitting you were wrong to start with. So that as we go through life and we have different experiences and we find more evidence, then it's absolutely fine to change our mind or to develop our opinion in a stronger way or become less less strong, but it should be based on evidence. So they should then be basing it on, I didn't know this and now I know, I found out this about this group of people. Or I didn't know that these people felt this way about it, and that's changed my mind. So rather than just an opinion that's not particularly based on anything, it should be then based on their information. And with the students who find this particularly difficult, I do give them scaffolding in terms of helping them structure that paragraph in the early stages.
Awesome, thank you, Claire. And do you have anything to add, Nancy?
And I absolutely agree with the things that Claire has said, and with that idea of there being two strands. You know, what skills have I developed, but actually what do I think about this topic? And it's all linked to that idea of global perspectives, personal perspectives, national perspectives, and an understanding that a perspective is my viewpoint and somebody else's viewpoint. And as Claire says, it's that monitoring of what do I think now? What I think I would go with the journal. I would have a journal alongside these portfolios, and I would be saying right at the beginning, you've picked this topic. What do you think you're going to find out? What is your opinion right now, and based on what? And then, as you discover some causes and consequences of that particular question, what do you think now? Has your opinion changed at all? Well, now you've listened to an interview with someone who's a specialist, a perspective of theirs. Has that changed your opinion? And as you go along, keeping a constant journal of how has my view changed? Or, I always thought this thing was bad, but now I know it's really bad. And I know it's really bad because I've seen this bit of evidence and I've heard what this person has to say. And now my perspective is even stronger than it was before. So I think that idea of journaling what you do, or of keeping a chart of, this is what I know, this is what I want to know, this is what I've learned, is a good skill for life, isn't it? We're all always doing that, reflecting on what we now know and how we can improve. And that's where this is a course that is about skills for life, that make you a more reflective human being. And we could certainly do with more reflective human beings, couldn't we? So I think anything that we do that encourages that reflection is good. But diaries, journals, and scaffolding, absolutely, to encourage them to reflect on evidence and to reflect on what other people have said.
Brilliant. Thank you both. That's really useful information for Erin there. Our third question today is from Bianca from South America, who is also from our online community of educators. Bianca shared with us that she sometimes finds it hard to disconnect from assessing topics rather than skills. Nancy, I'm going to come to you first on this one. Do you have any advice for Bianca?
I think that teachers find this constantly challenging, particularly when they are dealing with an assignment or a challenge, perhaps one they've made themselves, perhaps one from our downloadable resources, perhaps one from the Cambridge challenges, that's something they know about. If it's a topic they don't know anything about, they actually don't struggle with this so much. But the minute you're an expert, then you think, well, I've taught groups of teachers who forever raise their hand and say, I'm a geographer and I cannot possibly do this whole environmental disaster in 6 weeks. And I'm always saying, you're not doing the environmental disaster. You're facilitating students and learners finding out about it and developing their skills. And I just think it's about constantly reining yourself in, constantly actually being brave enough to allow the learners to go away and find out for themselves. You don't have to deliver everything to them. We feel as teachers sometimes if we haven't delivered it, then we haven't done our job. And I beg to differ. Actually, let them learn it. Let them become who you want them to become. And step back and stop telling them the answer. Let them find the answer.
Awesome. Thank you, Nancy. And Claire, do you have anything to add to that?
I agree with everything Nancy said, and I think it's about keeping an open mind about allowing the students to have whatever direction they choose, and you know, giving up that control, because you're more likely to direct them down a path of something you know more about, which then actually makes the feedback more difficult, because you then struggle to sort of just assess the skills rather than the knowledge, and just letting them have that freedom, because they're more likely to become engaged, and it helps you then to give the feedback that's based on the skills rather than the knowledge.
Awesome, thank you. Our Cambridge Global Perspectives resources can be used flexibly with any topic to allow teachers to adapt to classroom needs. So the question we'd like to put to you both now is, do you have any advice on choosing the right topic to enhance learners' engagement? Claire, I want to come to you first on this one.
I think, again, having the letting the students have freedom to go in the direction they want, but also adapting it to the students' needs. So, for example, one of the challenges that are on the Cambridge site at the minute is school the best place to learn, which I didn't think was particularly relevant to my students who are homeschooled all over the world. So I've changed that challenge so that they can look at the education system in any country they choose. They can still address the skills, they can still look at causes and consequences of education, they can look at the perspective of education in that country and compare that to the global perspective of, you know, how important education is seen around the world. They can then identify a problem in the education system in that country, and then that leads them to suggest solutions. So I can still use some of the resources that are online and available through Cambridge, but I'm making it more relevant to the students that I am delivering the course to in order to engage them more.
Awesome. Thank you, Claire. And Nancy, do you have anything to add to that?
I suppose, again, I think that one of the things that teachers often struggle with is they think that when they come from a position of being new to the course, they think perhaps that they have to cover every challenge, or if they use our resources, they think they have to use the downloadable resources that we've provided. And that is just not the case. the whole idea of the challenges and the whole idea of our resources is to just give them ideas of what they might do. But actually, look at your group. Ask yourself, you know, what interests them? What are they asking questions about right now? If you live somewhere where there has just been a natural disaster, there has just been an issue with immigration where a lot of people are talking about that, then why wouldn't you use that topic? You would use that topic. That's what your kids are talking about. And what I find most fascinating when I see the assignments and the work that young people do with Global Perspectives is I suddenly have an insight into what's going on in their country, in their city, in their place. And I think to myself, this is what kids are thinking about right now when they're in X country, when wherever they happen to be. And I find that really fascinating because otherwise, how would I know? I don't live there. So I just think choosing things that are relevant to them, but also, again, letting them have that choice. And in fact, my top tip would be encourage them to choose the thing they don't know anything about. They always try to go for things, or often try to go for things that they already know about because they think, oh, that will be easy. Don't do that. Pick something you don't know anything about. Start with that topic and then start to research. Find what questions, what problems are there within this topic area that I think that I would be interested in addressing. And the less they know, the better their reflections are, the better their questioning is, because they don't come in with preconceived ideas. They don't just talk about opinions of people they know. They actually do proper research.
I think that goes back to separating the knowledge out from the skills again, doesn't it? That it doesn't matter actually what subject the skills are attached to. It's delivering those skills that's important, no matter which way you do that.
Absolutely. And even as authors and trainers, Claire and I forever talk to each other. We forever talk about this, and we always find that the things that we know the most about are actually the things that we're not as good at. We always have to say, oh no, leave that alone, because you know too much about it. Actually, we're better off when we step away from the things that we already have an area of expertise in.
Brilliant. Thank you both. That's some really good tips there. And now we're on to our final question. So our final question today comes from Lindsay in Southeast Asia. Lindsay feels that there is a considerable jump from teaching primary and lower secondary to Cambridge IGCSE Global Perspectives that lies in the level of complexity, rigour and scope of the subject matter being taught. So the question we'd like to put to you both now is, what skills do you think are most helpful to support students as they move from lower secondary to IGCSE Global Perspectives? Do you have any suggestions on this, Nancy?
My own view about this is that even though it sounds like the vaguest of all the skills, it all begins with research. And it all begins with research because through your research, you find your topic area, and within your topic area, you find your issue. And I think that it's possibly easier, instead of thinking of something as an issue, think of it as a problem. So encourage our learners to find within a topic area, what's the problem there? Because if they find a problem, their question is then about that problem, then they find causes of the problem, consequences of the problem. What do people in my nation think about the problem? What do I think about the problem? What does the world think about the problem? What are the solutions to the problem? And everything, all of the skills to me, scaffold out from that research. And as I say, research can sound really, really vague, or really like you just let them loose on the internet and ignore them for an hour or something like that. But that's not what it is. It's about locating what is that problem. If your problem is right, then every other skill, sort of cascades nicely from that. If you haven't identified something that's a problem, then you're going to struggle, I think, to develop the other skills, really.
Awesome. Thank you. And Claire, do you have anything to add to this?
Just that I think they are so interlinked that, yes, it all starts with research, but then I think you can't really separate the others out into one being more important on the other. It has to be taken as the whole picture, basically. So it should become so natural that by the time the students are finishing the course, that they can't really look at one skill without looking at the others as well, because they fit together.
It's really about the synthesis of the skills, isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you so much, Nancy and Claire, and thank you also to anyone who has sent us in questions. We love to hear from you, so please do keep them coming. But that is all for our Teaching Cambridge Global Perspectives episode. Don't forget to tell your friends about us and rate our show on whatever platform you're listening on. Our show notes have lots of useful links that we've discussed throughout this episode, so be sure to take a look at them. You can also follow us on Twitter at CUP Education. Do get in touch. That's it for today. Thanks again to Nancy and Claire, and we'll see you, our lovely listeners, soon.